The forum took place April 19th at St. Luke's Episcopal Church and featured panelists discussing the dangers and potential solutions for fighting megafires. Park City Fire District Fire Marshal Mike Owens explains the risk of fireworks as a possible igniter for wildfires.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest ones is fireworks. We love our fireworks. We love our 4th of July. We love to see the Big Bang. My daughter's 4 years old, and she gets more excited than you can imagine. She loves those fireworks. Unfortunately, my son is 13 years old, and so does he. We've fought several fires here in the Park City area that were caused because kids are shooting off fireworks. It's a common thing. Fireworks will get you. There's this thought that they go up hot and they come down cold, and that's certainly not the case. Anything that goes up in the air hot then explodes is going to come down and land on the ground hot as well. And if you're doing that in the wrong place at the wrong time, then that will certainly lead to events that none of us want to see.
During the latest legislative session, lawmakers lowered the amount of days that people can shoot off fireworks. Fireworks were legal 3 days before and after Independence and Pioneer Day in Utah. The new legislation allows 2 days before the holiday and 1 day after, totaling 8 summer days. Owens explains the things you can do to keep your house safe.
You want to make sure your home is buttoned up. If you have parts of your home that stick out, make sure that underneath of those you're not having brush collect. Make sure your decks are clear. Make sure that you have easy access to your home and you have good water supplies. Those are the things that are going to keep you more fire prepared than anything else.
Utah State University Assistant Professor of Wildland Resources Darren McAvoy says that if your home is at risk, then your neighbor's home is also at risk.
And part of that is if you look at those pictures of Santa Clara and the disaster that happened there, in a lot of cases, I mean, it burned from the forest to get a few of those houses on the edge started, but then the fire actually moved from house to house. Look closely at those photos next time. And in the middle of the street between the houses, where the houses were, you can see standing dead pine trees with the needles still on them. It's a pretty good indicator that it wasn't the vegetation that was moving the fire. It was a house-to-house event. Mm-hmm. So if your house starts on fire because your shake shingle roof or whatever it is, you are directly threatening your neighbor's house. And in some ways, the entire neighborhood. Yeah.
John Blazard is the last sawmill operator in Summit County. He says the houses are being built too close together.
Another issue that I believe needs to be addressed and looked at is planning and zoning. There are probably some places where we probably shouldn't be building homes. And we need to look at the results or the threats that can be created by creating a subdivision in certain places. That's too late in a lot of part of our county, but it's not too late in other parts.
Blazard says that lumber was once a huge part of the local economy, but that's not the case anymore.
And I can tell you the reason why. It's because for the periods of years, the allowable cut or the amount of timber that the National Forest put up for sale was very, very limited. It was like 1 to 1.5 million board feet per year. Our sawmill has a capacity of It used to have a capacity of 6 million feet per year, but because of the shortage of allowed sale of timber, we downsized our operation. We shut our sawmill down in the summer, and so our total output of board foot of lumber is considerably smaller than it could have been. And that's why the other sawmills have gone out of business, is because there just wasn't enough wood available to keep us all running. And as a consequence of that, the timber got older and bigger and denser and thicker, and now it's deader. And now those great big trees are the trees that the beetles love to eat. And so they're all dead. The bigger the tree, the longer it's been dead. But the amazing thing is that there are a lot of young seedlings that are growing up underneath that dead forest. If we can remove those dead trees before they burn, those little young seedlings are going to have a chance to create a new forest. If it burns, everything's going to be dead, then we'll have a forest that's all of the same age, and then we're just destined to do this over and over and over again.
Daniel Haudegui is the district forest ranger for the Heber-Camas district. He says that civilians are more informed on the issue and support the Forest Service efforts to prevent wildfires.
I don't have people coming into my office anymore asking, why are you cutting trees? They're coming in asking, why are you not cutting trees? So the problem is out there. It's recognized. I think we've got a lot of people behind us that understand we need to do something. But I think we need more help. We need to figure out how do we build capacity.
Part of preventing wildfires means prescribed burns. Professor McAvoy advocates for controlled fires.
I plead with you all to be patient with the Forest Service and other agencies when they're doing prescribed burning. The question is, how do you want your smoke? Do you want it in the middle of summer? Do you want it from a wildfire? Or will you tolerate it in the spring and the fall when the Forest Service is doing some prescribed fire?
Additionally, the panel stressed the importance of education.
But what I can tell you is that as the education gets out there and as more and more people learn about their responsibilities, and more resources are made available, because honestly, we have a tremendous number of resources available, that the number of people who are taking advantage of it goes up. Forums like this and being broadcast out on the radio, there's a lot of people tonight who are learning things that they didn't know. They didn't know that they had these resources available to them, and it's for free. Mm-hmm. So an exact number I can't tell you, but the bright light here is that it's going up. More and more people are doing it. We have a very dark cloud of this idea. A fire could come through here and destroy our community. Yeah, but you know what? Guys, we got to pat ourselves on the back because you're doing a good job. You're out there doing what you need to do as well. We need more people doing it. Don't get me wrong. We're not anywhere near where we could be.
The entire conversation can be found online at kpcw.org. For KPCW, I'm David Boyle.